Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Some good worship. That was some good worship, huh? Thank you guys. Some good worship. So as you guys well know, we don't do announcements at our church. But before I preach, I just got a couple things I want to talk to you about. we've got our next group of small groups coming up. And Pastor Todd's excited. Largely because this is one of the first times when he's not going to be leading one. But we do have some other people that are going to be leading small groups this time around. I'd like to ask Pam and Roger to come up, if you would. Now, I don't know if you've met these people yet, but man, they're good people. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're real good people. And so they're going to be leading a small group. And the small group that they're running is, it's called Clean the Parsonage. Amen. And so every week they're going to come over to the parsonage and cut the lawn and fix the fence. Isn't that right?
Pam's good at that kind of stuff.
Here, who's ever going to talk? You guys are going to be doing a small group on what day of the week?
On
Friday. And so Friday, and where's the small group going to be?
Right here. Well, right back there, probably at the back.
Okay, at the back of the room, not the front room. And what is your small group going to entail? What are you guys going to do?
We're going to eat.
Nice. All right. That's good. That's very holy. Lots of donuts. So you're going to eat. What else are you guys
going
to do?
We're going to talk about the Bible.
Eat and talk about the Bible. All right. So specifically, what part of the Bible are you guys going
to
be?
Bible questions.
From the beginning to the end. So, like, you guys are going to be covering things like, where's the Ark of the Covenant?
We'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay. All right. Who stole the golden cup and whose bag was it in? Those type of things?
I don't know if we'll get in that one.
Okay. And so is this small group for people that know a lot about the Bible, a little bit about the Bible? Who's it for?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's for people who are just getting started learning about the Bible, but even people who've been listening to and reading the Bible for 40, 50 years, I won't say how many years, get something out of it too.
Nice. Now, Pam, you haven't said anything, so I'm going to get you to talk for just a second. you guys are basically doing the same small group that you guys were a part of last time. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so, all right. So tell me, what did you get out of the small group last time you were in it? How did it affect or change you?
It really
Nice. Awesome. So Pam and Rod of the Wilders. But God, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we're asking for you to be here today to speak to us by your word. God, we thank you that it's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And so God, I pray today that you would just use this word mightily, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Has anybody here ever been through something difficult before? Perfect. This message is for you this morning. If you've been through something difficult today, I believe that God wants to use this message to be able to speak to you. I believe that He wants to use it to change you. I believe that He wants to use it to comfort you this morning. It's really hard to have to go through some stuff. Amen. I have things in my life that I go through and things that I'm currently going through. It seems like when I'm going through stuff in my life, I'm either currently going through it, or I'm coming out of it, or I'm about to go into something else. Does anybody identify with that? It seems like as soon as I'm done going through something, there's something new that I need to go through. And honestly, it's a little bit scary sometimes because I think the biggest fear of going through something, and I figured out what it was, the biggest fear of going through something is not the actual act of going through something. It's the fear of how long am I going to have to go through this, and am I going to be delivered from it? Amen? And I never realized that before, because the truth is I've been through a lot of stuff, and I've experienced a lot of stuff, and when I was reflecting, I thought, you know, what's the hardest part about going through stuff? It's this sense of how long am I going to have to go through this, and am I going to be delivered from this? Does anybody identify with that this morning? So this morning we're going to be in John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, we've got it's a pretty cool story, man. And God showed me some new stuff in this that I had never seen before. And it's the story of Jesus walking on the water. And it's in John chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, 'It is I, don't be afraid.' Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." So what does this verse say? So I'm sure you've read this story before, but I'm just going to kind of paint the picture here. There's a bunch of guys in a boat that are trying to make it across the lake. Man, that was profound, wasn't it? So they're in this boat. They're trying to make it across the lake. There's a bunch of water. There's a bunch of waves. They're rowing. It's the middle of the night, and Jesus comes walking across the water to where these guys are at, and the guys get scared. They say, "Man, this seems pretty scary." And so what do? They reach out to Jesus. Jesus gets in the boat. Boom. They get where they're going. So what does it mean? The first thing I noticed in this verse was that the disciples got into the boat when it was still dark. Amen? If you read in the book, it's in the Bible, it says, "When evening came, his disciples went down into the lake." Now, the way that fishing worked back then was that fishing was done at night. And most people, when they envision fishermen, they envision something like, the Deadliest Catch or something like that. They envision that people are out there and that, I don't know, the Gorton's fisherman or something like that. You know, he's got the big hat or whatever. But fishermen back in Bible times, they actually had to go out at night. Why? Because I don't know if you realize this, but invisible filament didn't exist back in Bible times, right? Their nets were made out of rope, and their nets were not, they weren't sneaky, amen? The fish could see these big nets coming up underneath them, and so the reason why these guys had to fish at night is because it was the only way that they could sneak up on the fish, amen? And for those of you that still believe in evolution, explain to me this: how come fish ain't getting no smarter, amen? Fish still ain't getting no smarter. They're just getting dumber and dumber. Amen? So they go out at night because they've got to go catch these fish at night. And so then the water gets rough. And as they're going across, this water becomes really just overwhelming to them. There's a parallel verse of it in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. That's actually describing the same story. And it says that Jesus looked down on them and the disciples were straining against the oars. That's the way that the book of Mark describes it, is that actually they were working so hard that they actually had to strain against the oars as they were trying to work their way across the water. It wasn't just that the water itself was bad. It was that the guys were having to work hard against it. They had to put in some work. It wasn't a day of motorized boats. It wasn't a day of just drifting across in the middle of the night. The part of this story, if you look at it, is that Jesus let these guys go through some agony. It says that Jesus was up on the side of the mountain and looked down and saw these guys straining with the oars. He was watching them having to go through this agonizing process of working across the lake. It also says that when the guys saw Jesus, that it scared them. It actually scared them that they saw Jesus himself walking across the water. And it says actually that they thought it was a ghost the vision of seeing a man walking on water. Now, I've never seen a man walk on water, but I would guess if I was out in a boat in the middle of nowhere and the waves were really bad, that I would probably get a little bit worried that somebody was walking on the water. Now, some people would say that anyone would be afraid of a person walking on the water, but now, it doesn't really say it in John's account, but in Mark's account, the time at which Jesus actually starts to walk on the water is in the morning time. That's what it says in Mark. It wasn't just that Jesus walked out in the middle of the night. He walked out in the morning. That's where he came up, was in the morning time. And so as Jesus comes up on the scene, he comforts them and he says to them, "Do not be afraid. It is I. I am the one that has come here. I'm the one that is going to do this. I'm the one that's going to help you through this." So what does this mean to you? Folks, the first thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Sometimes you have to get in the boat even when it's dark. Just let that sink in for a second. Sometimes you have to get in the boat even when it's dark. The beginning of this story is that these guys set out, and I would assume that probably they hadn't watched the evening news and knew what the weather report was, but usually weather, and you can see it coming, right? This sense of this weather, this sense of things coming, they knew that the weather was probably not going to be that well, but because they knew that they had to get to the other side, they still made the choice to get in the boat. Darkness itself and the sense of darkness wasn't enough to keep these guys from getting in the boat. Even though that they may have been a little bit scared, maybe because, I don't know about you, but the prospect of making it across the lake in the middle of the night just doesn't seem that exciting. 2,000 years ago, folks, there's no spotlights. There's no lights on these boats. The guys just basically set out and said, "We hope we get to where we need to be, and it's dark." Here's the reality, folks. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we look to where we are supposed to be going, it looks pretty dark. Can any of you identify with that this morning? Identify with sometimes you look out to where God wants you to go, you look to that place where you're supposed to end up, and the prospect of going through it, it looks really, really dark. Just like these guys in the boat. We may have been across it before. We may know how to get there, but the prospect of going across is just, it's too bleak, it's too dark. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? These guys were fishermen. This was their lake. Like, it's the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is only about 4 to 5 miles across, and it's only about 8 to 10 miles long. That's about how big this thing is. I mean, Lake Washington is longer than the Sea of Galilee. It's not, Lake Washington isn't as wide as the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a little bit wider, but the length of it isn't much bigger than Lake Washington. So these guys have been across this thing before. They'd already been on the path, but the prospect of going on a path that you'd already been on before, when it's dark, it's just a little bit different, isn't it? Sometimes God will be leading us somewhere, and we look at it, and the prospect of it is very, very dark. I'll share with you guys something about myself that you may not know, but I don't like the dark. And some of you might say, "Man, I don't understand. I thought you were, you know, you man of God. You're a tough guy." Dude, I'm tough, man. I'll fight anything I can see. It's the sense of the dark that scares me. If you come into my house at night, man, I got little lights placed everywhere. I got lights in my bathroom. I got illumination in my kitchen. You don't walk through my house in the dark because my house isn't dark at night. People say, why is that? Why? Because I don't like the dark. I don't like to walk through a dark house and not know what's in the corners. And I don't like to walk through a house and think that maybe somebody snuck in there in the middle of the night and going to jump out and scare me. Some of you might say, "Man, well, I'm not afraid of the dark." Well, then drive around with your headlights off. Be out on some country road out in the middle of nowhere and turn off your headlights. And you afraid of the dark too. It's scary, man. The scariest thing about the darkness is that we can't see. We don't know what's coming up to us. We don't know what's coming at us. And sometimes in our spiritual lives, The prospect of where God is taking us is dark. Not dark in the sense that it's bad, not dark in the sense that God is darkness, but dark in the sense of we don't know where we're going. See, I think sometimes the prospect of following God is a lot like driving in the middle of the night with headlights on, is that you can only see to that next spot. You're not really sure exactly where the road is leading. You have faith that the road is leading to the next place. But God only gives you enough to see where that next spot is, and you can't see past where that next spot is. It's only enough to get you to that next place. Getting into darkness is difficult. But here's the deal. Sometimes you have to be willing to go into the dark. Sometimes God calls you, as much as He called these fishermen, you have to be willing to go into dark places where you're not exactly sure what the outcome is. If you spend your spiritual life only stepping on sure footing, on sure answers, you're never going to experience the things that God wants you to experience. Now, there are sure things of our faith, the sure things about who God is and who Jesus is and His faithfulness and the things that He's able to do in our lives. But God sometimes will ask us to go places where we're not exactly sure how we're going to get there or what it's going to look like as we're going to those places. Sometimes you have to get in the boat when it's dark. And you just have to trust, I don't know exactly how, I don't know exactly when, but I'm going to get to the place where God has me to be. Just because something is dark doesn't give you an excuse to excuse yourself. Sometimes people say, oh man, that just looks scary. That looks dark. I don't want to do that. Well, okay. But sometimes God wants you to get in the boat. Amen? Sometimes you got to go through those dark places. But here's the comfort in that. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Folks, the comfort of getting in the boat when it's dark is that you don't go through it alone. Amen? Amen. Now, you'll see we're getting to that point. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know the end of the story. These guys didn't know that Jesus was going to physically come out there and help them through it. They just had to trust. They had to trust that they were going to be able to see through it, that they were going to get through to the other side. Now, once they get in the boat and it's dark and they get out there, and it wasn't just enough that darkness was there. Bless God. Darkness is scary enough. But then it gets stormy. Oh! I was scared. I got in the boat. It was dark. And bless God, then it got really bad. Does that sound like anybody's story? Does that sound like parts that happened in your life where you're like, man, I was faithful. I got in the boat thinking it was going to be good. And then once I got in the boat and like rowed a few times, boom, then it really started. Yeah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Sometimes you get in the boat, you trust God, you decide that you're going to go into the darkness, and then the water gets really rough. And this is what I love about this story. It's not just that this is an actual story, because it is. This is a truthful story. It's a story that really happened. But I love the allegory that this story describes. And sometimes people read stories like this and think the story is just the allegory to describe something. This is a real story that we find meaning in. It's not a made-up story to provide meaning. Do you notice the difference? But when we sit back and we look at this story of how Jesus interacts with disciples, when He interacts with people that are in the middle of rough waters, it gives us a really clear picture of what our lives a lot of times look like. These guys are just fishermen, man. They're just doing their job. And you may not be a fisherman, you may not be out in the middle of some lake, but sometimes the job that God has asked you to do is just as bleak as somebody having to get in a boat in the middle of the night and going out and the waters get utterly and completely rough. Amen? Honestly, sometimes that's what my life feels like. Like I'm out in a boat and it's dark and I'm scared and I'm worried. And then it really starts to get bad. It wasn't enough that I was in the boat and it was dark and I was worried and I was scared. It was when the waves started crashing over my situation. Sometimes it feels as soon as it gets dark, the water just gets even rougher. And I'm not saying this word is prophetic as far as the Scripture is concerned. I'm just saying I identify with that this morning, man. I identify with things being bad and then them getting worse. And to be in that worst situation and think, man, God, where did you go? What happened, man? It was bad, and then it went from bad to worse. It wasn't just enough that I was going through something dark. Now all of a sudden it's dark and it's rough. And it's really scary and it's really uncomfortable. And it really, really is something I didn't want to experience, God. And now I'm afraid and I'm scared and I really have no idea what I'm going to do. Just because it's rough, though, it doesn't mean that we give up. I love that part of the story. These guys didn't give up. They didn't give up at all. You know what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9? It says, we should not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I love this part of the story. The curve of this story is beautiful in that these guys, they don't give up. Remember the word that Jesus said is he noticed them straining against the oars. He's seen them having to actually put in some work. And that's the next curve of the story is that sometimes when it's dark and when it's rough and things aren't going well, you have to actually put in some work. Sometimes you're going to be out in the middle of the proverbial boat and it's going to be dark and the seas are going to be rough and waves are going to be crashing over your head and you're going to have to actually put in some work to try to get through what you're going through. Amen? See, what's interesting is sometimes people forget that the stories in the Bible oftentimes include us having to be involved in God's process of deliverance. Sometimes Jesus will actually allow us to go through painful situations that we may not like. And people will ask and say, well, how come God is allowing me to go through this? How come He hasn't delivered me from these waves? How come He hasn't delivered me from this darkness? Why is it that I can't seem to be delivered from where I'm at? Sometimes you have got to put in some work. Amen? Sometimes you have to actually strain against the oars. Sometimes you've got to pull through this situation that you're going through. You're not alone. You're not going to die out in the middle of the ocean. Jesus is on the shore. He's watching you going through it. But you are going to have to put in some work. You're going to have to strain against those oars. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been up to the University of Washington. Have you guys ever been in the UW before? Here's a neat thing that I don't know if you know this, but did you know that you can rent boats up there? Yeah, right there by the Montlake Cut. Go down there by the stadium, you can give them a few bucks, and you can rent a rowboat, or you can rent a canoe. It's great, man. It costs like $8. Maybe it's 10. I don't know. It's fun. So a couple years ago, Crystal and I and the kids go up there, and a canoe's for 3 people, a rowboat's for 4. We have 4 people. And so I had this great idea that, man, I'm going to row my family on this little boat. And I hadn't even told the story, and she said, gosh, because she knows. Now, what's interesting is the place these boats are is you have to go across the ship canal to get to these lily pad areas where there's no rough waters. And so we put the kids in the boat, and we get in this aluminum flat bottom thing that I'm sure there was still an anchor attached to it somewhere. I'm just, and we're going nowhere, man. Kids are like, Daddy, are we going to go anywhere? I'm just rowing and rowing, going across the ship canal, boats, like, get out of the way. Daddy, we're going to die. It was against the wind, man. It was horrible. It felt like we were going backwards. And I was pulling as hard as I could. So we get over to the other side. Folks, I want to describe you. The distance I had to go was like from that wall to the other side of the church. That's all the width of the ship canal is. It just kept pushing us back. So we get over to the other side. We're in the lily pads. And the kids are like, let's go see some stuff. And I'm like, see some stuff? We're just going to sit right here. Just enjoy ourselves. And it wasn't even that we just sat there, right? We rode around a little bit. But this is when it got really bad. We had to go back. We had to go back from where we came from. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, okay, I guarantee you the technology that I have in this boat from the University of Washington, this aluminum boat with eyelets and oars, has got to be superior to whatever kind of rowboat that they had back in Bible times. Guaranteed. But it was bright sunlight, and I was rowing about 100 yards. So can you just get the picture of what these guys had to go through? Do you see how difficult it probably was for them to go through this hard work of trying to get across this lake? Sometimes you have to put in some hard work. God isn't always, hear me on this, church, God is not always going to rush in and take care of your situation right away. And that may not be the most comforting words that you've heard today, but man, I got to preach the truth. Sometimes you are. It is dark, it is rough, and you are putting in some work, and God is not doing anything more but just watching. But you ain't going to drown. You ain't going to sink. It might feel as though you're going to drown. It might feel as though you're going to sink. It might feel as though God has forgotten about you, but He has not forgot about you. He is right there. He knows exactly what you're going through. Sometimes you're just left out there in the middle of the lake rowing, putting in some work. But you are not alone. Isaiah 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Folks, you have to keep rowing. You have gone too far to go back. Going back is farther than just going through. Pastor Jay says to me sometimes, said that, you know, I was reminding him in the Marine Corps, the quickest way out is through. Some people are always looking for the easy way out. The quickest way out is through. And sometimes when you're rowing through and it's dark and it's rough and you're putting in work, you've got to go through. But here's what happens. Jesus actually does show up. Dark, rough, working, and then Jesus shows up. Now, when Jesus shows up, the interesting part of this story to me is that it scares them. Sometimes the scariest thing is not Jesus not showing up, it's actually Jesus showing up. Sometimes the scariest parts of our lives is not that Jesus doesn't show up, it's that He shows up. I don't know about you, but the manifest presence of God is a scary prospect sometimes. See, people say, oh man, I want help, God. I want Jesus to move in my life. I want Him to rescue me from my situation. And then He actually shows up and it scares the business out of us. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. Did it come out okay? It scares the business out of us. I don't know about you, but a real experience of the living God in our situation is a scary, scary prospect. Amen? In the greatest need of their life in this story, Jesus shows up walking across the water to help these guys, and they're scared. Now, for me, if I'm out in the middle of a storm and I'm scared, I don't care who it is, man. If some dude's walking on water, I'm thinking that's a guy that can help me. Okay? But the truth is that the manifest presence of God is a scary thing. In our own spiritual lives, when we experience the reality that God is real, when we experience that God actually does show up in our lives, that Jesus actually does want to help us, that Jesus does want to show up, it's scary. It happens in our church all the time. Sometimes the biggest times that we lose people at church is when things actually get real. Because people want to serve a construct. They don't want to serve a living, breathing God that actually is involved in our lives. It happened a couple weeks ago, man. The Holy Ghost showed up in our service and we started praying for people. We weren't even being crazy, man. We hadn't even become like charismatic. We were just ka. You know what I'm saying? We hadn't even started to get crazy. These people ran out of the church, man. They got scared. Why? Because God showed up. And I'll tell you, it's a scary thing when God shows up. Unless you really need Him. Then it's the most beautiful thing in the world. I praise God He showed up. Praise God He finally came. But here's where it gets good. This is the best part of this story. The voice of Jesus to these guys in your boat, in the middle, dark, scary work. Jesus speaks to these guys and He says, "Do not be afraid. It is I." Don't be afraid. It is I. There's no reason for you to be afraid, Jesus says. I have come here to help you. Now, we all have fears, don't we? We all have things that we're afraid of. And it's funny because nobody's fears are usually the same. Some people are afraid of spiders, and some people are afraid of sharks, and some people are afraid of rats and snakes and dark and public speaking. But a lot of us have a lot of the same fears of, like, am I going to be successful? Am I going to be able to take care of my family? Are people going to like me? Am I going to be perceived as a loser? Are people going to think less of me? Am I going to be able to get this thing done? Am I going to be able to progress in my career? Does anybody have any of those fears? Because honestly, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a fisherman, man. I'm not going to go out in no boat in the middle of the night. Yeah. Kevin says, we're going night fishing. I say, no. I'm not going to be out in the boat in the middle of the night, man. It's just not going to happen. It's just like skydiving. People say, are you afraid of skydiving? I said, no. Why aren't you afraid? Because I'm never going to do it. I don't have to be afraid of skydiving because I am never going to do it. If I had to do it, I would be deathly afraid. But I don't have to be afraid of something I'm never going to do. And I'm never going to be on the Sea of Galilee. Out there in the middle of a rowboat trying to catch some fish in the middle of the night with waves crashing over. And Jesus is never going to walk across the water while I'm out there in the middle of a boat fishing. That is never going to happen in my life. But that doesn't mean that I don't have fears that are real to me. It doesn't mean that there are those proverbial boats in my own life that I have to row across. The hard work that I have to put in. Those times when it is dark and when it is scary and I am putting in work and I am afraid. But the voice of the Lord speaks to me and speaks to you at that same time and says, do not be afraid. Folks, the best part about serving God is to know that we don't go through anything alone, that we don't have to be afraid. That even though the situation might get bleak and even though the situation might get hard, Jesus always shows up at the right exact time and speaks to those situations and says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It is I. We don't have any reason to fear. We don't have any reason to worry. One of the greatest gifts that we have is the fact that a bunch of people went through stuff in the Bible that we can read and learn from what they went through so that we can know that Jesus is going to show up. Amen? Supernaturally, Jesus will show up and walk across the waters of our lives and speak into our situation and say, do not be afraid. I'm going to be with you. You don't have to be afraid of failure. You don't have to be afraid of pain. You don't have to be afraid of your past. You don't have to be afraid of your future. You don't have to be afraid of your job or your kids or your relationships or your health or your careers. It doesn't matter. Jesus speaks to it and He says, do not be afraid. It was still dark. Do not be afraid. It was still rough. Do not be afraid. It was supernatural, the manifest presence of God. Do not be afraid. Now here's the best part of the story. And some guys said, man, I thought that was the best part. No, the best part is coming. The best part hadn't even shown up.
Right.
Now, I've been hearing this story since I was a kid, man. I mean, I grew up in this beautiful little stone Lutheran church where old Mrs. Luther, man, God bless her, she gone to be with Jesus. She used to tell me stories like this with the felt board, man. Some of you old school, remember the felt board, man? That was back when the Holy Ghost used to move in churches. Felt board. I never noticed this scripture before. And I read it at Fountain Time. People get so excited about this story. Because it's exciting, right? Darkness, waves, crashing, working, Jesus walking across the water. Could it get any more exciting than that? But watch this. Did you know this is a story of two miracles? It says right there, verse 21. Then they were willing to take him in the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Praise God. Now tell me if that was the first time you've ever seen that before. Come on. Anybody? That was the first time I've ever seen that before. Jesus walks across the water and then supernaturally transports these guys, this whole boatload of fishermen, immediately to the other side. In the Greek, that word says in an instant. Preachers don't preach about that story. They get really excited about the Jesus walking on the water. That's completely plausible. The walking on the water part, yes. I can believe that. But they just kind of glaze over what I think is actually even more exciting than Jesus walking on the water, is that he sees them in the midst of their darkness, he sees them in the middle of their rough seas, and immediately he delivers them from it. Praise God. It wasn't just that he showed up to comfort him like, hey man, I'm just going to walk by the side of this boat while you guys continue to row. Keep it coming, man. I'll be here. You can do it. Just keep rowing. You got this. Immediately, he transfers them to the other side of the lake. I don't know how far they had to go. I don't care if it was 100 yards or if it was 2 miles. If I'm out in the middle of something rough and I'm in the middle of something dark and I'm scared, the fact that Jesus walks on that water, he comes out and immediately delivers me to my destination in an instant. Praise God. Would you just receive that as a word from the Lord this morning? Would you just receive that in whatever situation that you are in, and I don't care what stage you're at. You might be in the dark stage, you might be in the rough stage, you might be in the, I've been rowing so long and it doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere stage. The word of the Lord this morning is Jesus is going to show up and he will immediately deliver you. Amen. By his word, I declare it. We serve a supernatural, going to take care of things, deliver you from it, God. And I've seen it in my own life, man. I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not dealing with that anymore. I wake up and I say, man, I don't know what happened, but God completely turned my situation around. And he didn't do it over time. He did it in an instant. That pain I used to have is gone. That guilt I used to feel has been erased. The worries I used to have no longer exist. The things I used to worry about, I don't worry about anymore. Supernatural God doing supernatural things, immediately delivering us from our situation. Jesus took them from their circumstance, the middle of their pain and their misery, and took them to the safety of the shore. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. God, I just want to thank you for speaking to us by your word this morning, God. I just want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. God, I want to pray for those people that are in those proverbial boats in their lives right now, God. God, I pray for those people that are here this morning that are out in the middle rowing and they're putting in work, God. They're putting in work. Jesus, would you please show up right now? Jesus, would you please show up right now? Holy Spirit, come in the way that you know how. God, would you deliver your people? Father, I pray right now for those people that are here, myself included, God, that have those rough seas, those areas of our lives where we just feel like we're not getting anywhere. God, would you please rescue us? God, would you immediately deliver us as you did these guys in this story, God? God, would you bring us to that place of immediate healing, immediate restoration? God, I pray for people that are here this morning that have a physical pain, God, I pray that you would heal it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for that. God, I pray for people that have an internal problem with their body, God, that you would heal it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for people that are guilt-ridden right now, God, that you would free them from that guilt in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for people that are covered with shame, and I pray that you would just release them right now, God, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, encourage the weary right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, encourage the weary right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, move in the way that you know how. Father, I pray that we would just stand up underneath you. Father, we praise you and we glorify and we lift you up. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.